We're holding on involvement bays, six lines from the bottom. So here we're going to have a sugya, which on the face of it doesn't really seem to have a direct connection with it. Doesn't seem to really have a direct connection with Omasepta. The sugya is going to talk about a person who found a lost object and is watching it until he finds the owner. What's the din? What kind of shomer is he considered? Now, the dinim of lost objects are in the first two prakim of Matia. Most of the dinim of Ashavas Aveda and how you're supposed to watch it and what you're supposed to do while it's in your possession or whatever are in the second parak, in El Matia. And what they're doing over here. So the Pnei Yeshua explained like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we talked about when you have a shomer who's guarding your animal for you, what level of responsibility does he have? We talked about that if it's a shomer chinam, as long as he does shmir p'chusa, then that's enough, even whether the animal is a tam or a mu'ad. Either way, shmir p'chusa is enough to pater him from any responsibility for his digging. Whereas if he's any other... If he's any other kind of shomer, then at least in the case of a tam, and according to a meir or mu'ad, then he's expected to do shmir ma'ola. So now, since our Mishnah talked about the case of masri l'roya, nichnas l'roya tachta, the case that we discussed at the end of yesterday, where you give it to a shepherd, and the shepherd gives it to his apprentice or whatever, which is a matter of a shomer, so therefore it's sort of a somewhat related topic then. The question is, so now, in a similar case, if you're a shomer for somebody else's animal, but not like an on missionary where you were voluntarily a shomer because he gave it to you to watch, but sort of involuntarily because you found his animal and are now holding on to it till he shows up, what kind of responsibility do you have as far as any nizakin that it might do?
Are you a shomer?
Well, you are a shomer. You're definitely some kind of shomer. But the question is, which kind? That's how the Pnei Yeshua explains it. And the Or Sameach explains it a bit differently. We're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Yosef that he's like a shomer sofer, and Rabbi Yosef is going to give two, the Gemara is going to give two reasons why Rabbi Yosef holds that way. Depending on those two reasons, we can argue whether, depending on the two reasons, as we'll see in a few lines, we can argue whether those reasons that he's a shomer sofer, we know, fine, a shomer sofer makes him liable, the fact that he's a shomer sofer then makes him liable, has a higher level of responsibility for the actual animal itself, for its actual welfare, over a shomer chinam. The question is that enough to also make him chayav, also like a shomer sofer, for the nezek of the animal, or maybe not. Maybe he's only responsible for, depending on the two reasons, maybe he's only responsible if something happens to the animal itself. The animal itself gets lost or stolen or what have you, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. But we could argue whether it makes him also chayav for any nizakin that the animal goes out and does.
And what makes him a shomer? The assumption that he's a shomer.
He has to be some kind of shomer. That's a given. So he's walking into the Gemara. It's shomer aveda. And when a person is watching somebody else's lost object. So Rabba says he's considered like a shemachinam. He's not getting paid for it. And Rabbi Yosef says he's considered like a shemachinam. So Rabba omak shemachinam dami because my hanok amagule. Because after all, what kind of benefit is he getting? The definition of a shemachinam is you're watching the other person's object for free. Well, in this case, that's what you're doing. You're watching the other guy. You don't know who the other guy is, so he hasn't shown up yet to claim it. You're watching it. You're not getting any payment for it. That now, there is the fact it's true you're doing a mitzvah, but usually we say mitzvah slav l'chonit. The fact that you're doing a mitzvah, you do get a hana, you get the satisfaction, you get the higher load of hava, etc. But that's not considered a hana as far as that's not considered a monetary hana.
Who makes you a shomer?
You have become a shomer. The Eivishter, basically, yeah. The Torah, yeah. Rabbi Yosef on the Hashemah Sacher. I mean, Rabbi Yosef says, why is he a shomer like a shomer sacher? Because he does gain something. Because he gains from the fact that when he is oisik in the mitzvah, when he's involved with the mitzvah of watching this lost object, oisik mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, as we know. So now, when he's watching this object, he is potter now from giving bread to a poor person. If a poor person at that time were to come and knock on his door, he would be potter from giving him tzedakah because he's busy right now with another mitzvah. This concept is called Prutta de Rabbi Yosef. Here the Gemara is talking about it in terms of bread, and a few other places in Shas, it talks about it in terms of Prutta, that you don't have to give a Prutta to the poor person at the door. That Prutta that you're gaining is called the fact that you have that gain, that you're exempting, that's considered Anna, and according to Rabbi Yosef, that's enough to make you a Shomer Sofer. Okay, so Tosfos says that it has to be, okay, wait. The Tosfos says that, yes, it has to dab to be only when he's actually occupied with the lost object. For example, in Bava Metzia, when we learn Eilat Metzias, in a few months' time, Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn about that certain kinds of things. You find Sfarim, for example, you're supposed to unroll them every so often so they don't get moldy. You find a carpet, you're supposed to spread it out every so often for the same reason. You find tools, you're supposed to use them once in a while so they don't get rusty, etc. That sort of thing. It's an animal, you have to feed it. That sort of thing. Tosfos says, we're not talking about just when the thing is stamped sitting in your house and you're not doing anything with it, because then you're not oisit b'mitzvah. The Radvaz says, that's true, but actually in that case, even Rabba would agree in that case that you don't have to give tzedakah to a poor person while you're actually occupied with the aveda. So then the Radvaz explains, fine, it is true, everybody agrees, while you're actually doing something with the aveda, then you're oisit b'mitzvah. The thing is, Rabba says, it's not very, Tosfos starts by saying, and Radvaz catches out in greater detail, Rabba figures it's not very likely that an oni is going to come by davka while you're busy taking care of the thing. Therefore, you can't consider that a hanah to the extent that you should become a shomer sofer. If it happens, fine, it happens. But even if it happens, it doesn't make you a shomer sofer on it the whole time. Whereas Rabbi Yosef takes the view, it doesn't matter whether it's common or not, it could happen, and the fact that it can happen is enough to make you a shomer sofer throughout. The fact that you have this potential prutah to Rabbi Yosef is enough to make you a shomer sofer throughout, regardless whether it's true. You, as a matter of fact, you will actually have to give the tzedakah if you're not actually taking care of the thing right now. But since you do have the capability of being potter when you're taking care of it, that's enough to make you a shomer sofer, Rabbi Yosef says. And there are others who explain differently. He says, according to this explanation, there's a somewhat different reason why we call him a Shema Sofer. Because since the Torah was Meshabed him against his will, therefore the Torah made him a Shema Sofer. According to this way of looking at it, at least this is how Pnei Yeshua explains it, is we sort of are saying that mitzvah lahanas nitzvah. We are saying that there is a certain degree of hana in it. The fact you became a shomer, it's true, you didn't volunteer for it. The fact is you did. The fact is you do have the hana of mitzvah. And therefore you are a shomer sofer. There's actually one of the portion that explains that the two reasons are not really independent of each other. The second reason is sort of adding to the first reason. That
was the usually
Mitzvah Slav Lahanas Nintu. But in other words, right. Well, the thing is like this. There's an explanation that goes like this. If it was only the Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, then the guy could argue, okay, very nice, I have Prutah de Rabbi Yosef. Fine, I don't want the Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, and I don't want to be a Shem Sofer. I don't think that the responsibility is worth the mini benefit that I'm getting. Comes the second answer and tells us no. The fact is the Torah put that obligation on you. The Torah made you a Shema Sofer. If you're a Shema Sofer, you're supposed to be getting paid. Fine, you're getting paid via Prutah de Rabbi Yosef.
Okay, so let's say you're getting paid via Prutah de Rabbi Yosef. Can you ask the Baal to get paid more than that?
Okay, so there is, once the guy shows up, okay, there is, when once the guy shows up, so there is in Bava Metzia, in Eilat Metzia, it talks about that the amount of time that you spent bringing the thing home, taking care of it or whatever, in basically, all you're entitled to is to poil bottle. You're entitled to the amount that you're entitled sort of to minimum wage for that amount of time. Unless, if you make a t'nai, it's described over there in the Mishnah and the Gemara over there, if you want to make a t'nai that you're only taking this lost object home and are going to take care of it on condition that the guy reimburses you in full, fine, you're entitled to get a basin together and make such conditions. But here we're not dealing with that. Here we're dealing with assuming there's no such condition. What kind of a shomer are you?
Here we're dealing with the fact that, number one, the shomer doesn't know where the bar is. There is a shomer.
This is also true. But that's the point. The Torah is imposing an obligation of shmir on you. So you're responsible to have it with you till the guy shows up and claims it. So therefore, you're definitely some kind of shomer. And Rabbi Yosef is saying, because of Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, and again, because the Torah is imposing this obligation on you, that you are a shomer sofer. So now we're going to have the simon, chazira la'olam hashav chiyah, amartim nishver sofer. These are seven points that the Gemara is going to bring up, seven challenges the Gemara is going to bring up against either Rabba or Rabbi Yosef to try and establish what the facts are over here. Is this Shomer Aveda like a Shomer Chinam or like a Shomer Sofer? So, number one, the simonim are each one, the simonim are keywords for each of the seven objections. Some of them are going to be against Rabba, some of them are going to be against Rabbi Yosef. So, first of all, Eisvir of Yosef with Rabba. Abraisa says, if you find a lost object, and Hechziro the Makam Shiurana, if you return this object to some place where you know that the owner is going to see it, then you're not responsible to take care of it any further. Nignava ayavda, but if it gets lost or stolen, then you're responsible for it. You have to pay for it. Now, nignava or avda are things that only a shema sachar is chayev for. A shema chinam is not chayev for gneva vaveda. A shema chinam is basically potter from anything except negligence. If he's negligent with a thing, or if he's shleach yadin a thing, but that's not really relevant over here. Then he's chayev, and then he's chayev. But other than that, he's potter. Anything that happens, you know, the guy comes and clears a regular case of a shema, not a case of an aveda. A regular case, the Baal of Pekodin comes later on and says, "Where's my thing? It got lost. It got stolen. It got whatever. It died. Whatever it is." He takes you to Beis Din. You swear that those are the facts, and you're potter. As opposed to a shema sachar is chayev for gneva v'aveda. Yeah, that's fine. That is true, but that's not relevant over here. Yeah, that is true. It's in Nail Matthias also. Yeah. Actually, I'm asking rather. Yeah. Yeah. So over here, when we're talking about, so it's over here. This Bryce is talking about somebody who returned a lost object, and it's mentioning that if it got lost or if it got stolen or it got lost, Chayev Bachriyosa. Now, my Nignavai Avda. Now, what does it mean if it got stolen or it got lost? Lav Nignavam Vesev Avda Mevesev. Lachura, that means if it got stolen or it got lost from your own house, you, the finder. Well then, that would mean you must be a Shema Sacher. You are a Shema Chinam. You're not responsible for such things. There you see from that bright that it is a Shema Sacher. The answer is, the Rabba can answer, lo even makam shech zira. No, he means that what the Braisa means is if it gets lost or it gets stolen from the place where you returned it. So we said that you return it to some place where the owner is going to see it, and then you're not chayev to do anything further, but nignava yavda, then you won't. So that's the question. But what do you mean? The Braisa says you don't have to take care of it, implying once you returned it to such a place, that's it. Your responsibility is over. How can you all of a sudden say that? Because it got lost or stolen from there, all of a sudden you become chayev again. Yes, but Rabba says, we're talking about over here, when we say that he returned it to some place where the owner is going to see it, we mean that he returned it there in the afternoon. The afternoon is the time when the person is typically not home. He's usually out at work. The Tauti Katani. So therefore, in other words, the Braisa is telling us two different cases. Number one, the Braisa is saying, if he returns it in the morning to some place where he knows the owner will see it, and number two, where he knows that it's common that the owner is going to go in and out of the chazila, and therefore the likelihood is that he'll see it, and then he doesn't have to take care any further of it, and even at that point, if it were to get lost or stolen, you would be puzzled. You did what you're supposed to. You can expect that in the next couple of minutes, the guy is going to come out of his house. No, in the morning, we're talking about in the morning, when the guy is still at home. So you don't actually have to knock on his door and return it. You can leave it, for example, out in his yard or out in whatever, out near his house. You can expect that in the next couple of minutes, he'll come out and see it. If during that time, it's negative, not your problem. You did what you're supposed to do. That's Rabba's argument, right? You're a Shema Chinam. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef is saying more straightforwardly, you don't need all that. According to Rabbi Yosef, Nignavai Avda is talking about that it got lost or stolen from your house. Before you ever had a chance to return it, it got stolen from your house. And you're chayev because you're a Shema Sacher. Rabbi, who says you're a Shema Chinam, can't understand it that way. Necessarily, as a Shema Chinam, you can only be chayev because of Shia. Well, the point is, returning it in the middle of the day, when you know the guy is not going to be home for hours, is Shia.
It is
given in return, and that's the point. So therefore, the Braisa is saying if you return it in the morning, then that's it. You're not responsible anymore. But if you return it in the afternoon, yes, it is a place that he's going to see it. But it's not common for him to go in and out. where, and therefore it's not likely that he's going to see it for several hours yet. Then you are chayav for it, because then what you did is pshia, leaving it someplace where you know he's not going to be seeing it for hours.
Bring it to his work.
To his work, that's different. Then he sees it. Then at that point he takes over responsibility. If they're home, fine. If you can expect that they're going to come out and see it, fine. But they may well stay home all day. They may not necessarily go out and bakhlal see an animal that's standing outside there. Already, remember, we're not necessarily talking about animals yet. Actually, the Gemara is going to bring up the point. The Gemara is going to point up out soon that there may be a distinction between animals and other kinds of things. The animals are capable of moving around; other things are not. But at this point, Tosfos says the Gemara does not. One answer of Tosfos a little further is that at this point the Gemara doesn't yet know of that distinction. The Gemara is assuming that it applies across the board. So regardless whether you found the guy's animal or whether you found his basket or whether you found his whatever, so we're saying that again, you found something inanimate. The same principle would apply. You don't have to go knock on a door and return it to him. You can leave it out in his. You can leave it out on his front porch, let's say. But as long as I overnight it, as long as you know that he's likely to come in and out soon and see it, then you're good.
But you know he doesn't drop it at the
shul. I mean, the shul is the Rosh Hashanah Abba. I would think you'd have to at least put it someplace which is at least close to his own Rosh Hashanah, but I don't know. So therefore, so you can't prove anything from this braisa one way or the other. Rabbi Yosef can understand the braisa his way, that it means it got stolen from your house, the one who found it. And Rabba can understand that it means it got stolen from the place where you dropped it off, because you dropped it off in the middle of the day when he's not around, and therefore that's pshia. There's no proof one way or the other. Basically, so Rabbi Yosef asks him another question. The braisa says, and Tosfos points out that this is actually a continuation of the previous braisa, he's always obligated. He still has a chayus for the thing until he returns it to his reshus. Now, my lo'olam, what do you mean always? It's another braisa that Tosfos points out. It's actually a continuation of the same braisa as before. The braisa is sort of summarizing and saying that the basic rule is you're always chayav until you return it to his reshus. That's the point. Tosfos says, since it's a continuation of the previous braisa, it still must be talking about the situation of Gneiva Aveda. Again, Gneiva Aveda is only relevant to Rosh Hashanah Sachar or to Rosh Hashanah Chinam of your Peshea. So, my lava filim yabese. So again, here when the braisa says, until you return it to his Rishus, it sounds like it means that even if it got stolen from your own house, from you who found the object, then you'd be chayav. Again, if you say it's a shemah sacher like Rabbi Yosef, that's very understandable. If you say that he's a shemah chinam, why should he be chayav in that case? Amalei shemamin a shemah sacher dami. So shouldn't that prove that he's a shemah sacher? The fact that he becomes responsible even when it gets stolen from his own house. Yeah. Amalei, the rabbi tells him, medina lach v'alechayim. You know what? I do agree with you when it comes to animals. Animals are different. It's true that. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you that. I don't agree with you that we're talking about that it got stolen from your house. I do hold that when it says atchiach zrena l'rishus, that means it literally has to be in his rishus. However, I'm saying if it gets stolen from the house, that's not what the braisa is talking about. What ulam uchayiv atchiach zrena l'rishus means once you're going to return it, then you have to actually return it into his rishus. However, that's talking specifically about animals. Because kibbutz naktilo nigra braisa, because since the animals, since you see that these animals are already familiar with a different way of walking, nagri means steps, braisa means outside, since you know, look, how did this animal come to get lost in the first place? Because it wandered away from the rest of the herd. Do you know already that this is an animal that doesn't stick to the usual patterns of all the other ones? Since it has nigra braisa, boy natural to yisera. So then, yes, in that case, you do need a greater level of responsibility. Oh, so actually, no. So it is, sorry, it is talking about even if it got stolen from his house. You know that this animal is one that's likely to wander off. Therefore, yes, it's true. The braisa can very well mean that even when it's in your house, if it gets...
In the case of animals, he agrees.
In the case of animals, I agree that since this animal already wandered off one time, then in that case, you, the finder, who now became a shomer, yes, you're a shomer chinam, but in this case, being a shomer chinam includes that extra responsibility to watch this animal more carefully than before, because you know that it's capable of wandering off again.
I agree with you that for Bali Chaim, he's a shomer safar, and all the rest is
shomer. Not really that he becomes, well, in effect, it sort of becomes that. In effect, it means that you have a greater responsibility. If it gets lost or stolen, it still can be considered your fault, because you should have known that this animal needs to be watched. You're not literally a shomer safar, but it amounts to that. It amounts to that you now have a greater responsibility.
The obligation.
Yeah. Tosfos discusses that actually there may be a difference between there may be a difference before when we mentioned when the Braith actually explicitly mentioned Nignavai Avda. One reason the Gemara didn't use this answer there is because there might be a distinction. This kind of thing could apply to Avda. Fine, if the animal gets lost, meaning it wanders off, yeah, you can argue that the animals can do that, and you see this animal already wandered away from the herd one time. That's how it got lost in the first place. Nignava, on the face of it, there's not necessarily, I mean, it got stolen, and it's not like the animal knew, it's not like the animal deliberately wandered off. Therefore, you can't, not necessarily, can you use this answer in the earlier part, and in the first question. Whereas when we're up to here, then we can say, Tosfos says, okay.
And then be stolen.
True, and that's what Tosfos says over here, that actually now the Gemara is taking a different assumption, that you could have, that yes, this is the kind of animal, it already wandered off once, therefore, it already wandered away from the herd, and therefore made it easier to be stolen. And that, in other words, it would have to be dapka that way. It wouldn't have to be, in other words, that somebody, let's say, sneaked up on the herd and grabbed one animal, because then you can't say nigrud b'raisa, the animal has not had any other way of going. But if it's an animal that previously wandered off and gotten stolen, yes, then the same thing would apply now in the future. If it's nignava or it's avda, either way, then either way. Before, the Gemara didn't want to draw that distinction. But the point is, therefore, that so Rabba can answer that when the Braisa says, well, Olam Ukhaiv, Abshah, it's talking specifically animals. When it comes to animals, since animals wander, and in this case, this animal already wandered once, then therefore, even though you're a Shema Chinam, you're still going to be Chayev because your minimum Shmira for such an animal is to guard it better than a regular animal would be, and otherwise you're a Peshaya. But not to say that you're a Shema Saf.
At least in all cases.
Well, that's what we're saying. And by the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out on that, on the face of it, by that logic, shouldn't you say, for example, if an animal has previously wandered off, and going back to the main topic of our parak, if your animal has previously wandered off and grazed in somebody else's field, shouldn't we say that you have a greater chiyuv to watch it in the future? And we said at the beginning of the parak that not, as long as you do a door that'll stand in Ruach Mitzuri, then that's good enough. Why don't we say the same logic? Later on, but we don't. We're saying it in the case of Aveda, not in the case of anything else. So he says that actually, yes. Since we said yesterday that Shane Veregel, Torah Mia to Bishmir Asimahu, there is a Kasu. That you don't have a stronger level of Shmira, then therefore that's it. You can get away with Shmira Kutsa. Whereas over here, there's no except in the case of Aveda, it's different. There's no such Mia in the Kasu. Okay. So those were Rabbi Yosef's questions on Rabbi. Now comes the other way around. Esrei Rabba Lerav Yosef. You're telling me that the person who's watching an Aveda is a Shema Sofer. But we have a Braisa that goes as follows. Now the Pasuk says, the Pasuk, when it describes the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda, says, Hoshev Teshivim La'achicha. Hoshev is an infinitive, returning, and Teshivim means you should return them, you will return them, yes. So, when it says Hoshev, if it only says returning, Eli Elabavei, so you'd only know from that if you returned it to his house, that would be considered a valid thing. How do we know the same thing applies even if you return it to his garden or to his ruin? It was very, very common in those days that you might have an old house that's partially collapsed, but you still use it. We had a lot about this in Erevin, for example. You use it as a shed, or you use it as a whatever you use it, maybe as a play area for your kids, whatever it is exactly. Yes. So how do we know that that's good enough? Tamal Bayim, it's a shiva, mekom achim. Therefore, the pasuk says you should return them. Meaning, however it's returned, as long as it's someplace on his property. Now you got to ask. Rabbi says, my leginosa or lechavasa. What kind of dina and what kind of kurba are we talking about? Are we talking about where this garden or this churba is well protected, meaning the animal is not going to easily get out of there. Well, of course it's not, of course it's fine. Hainu beisa, that's effectively the same thing as returning it to the guy's house. Of course you falter. Of course you've accomplished the mitzvah. Evidently, we must be talking about a gina or a churba that's not mishtameres. Now, when we say not mishtameres, okay, so Tosfos points out, not mishtameres doesn't mean it's wide open. If the animal can easily wander out from there, obviously, then that would be pshia. We're talking about, let's say, so Tosfos mentions the ruach matsuya or enim ruach matsuya business, which is not literally ruach matsuya or not, but it means, you know, the principle. In other words, can the, under normal circumstances, would the animal get out of there or not?
So
we're saying that even, as long as under normal circumstances the animal would stay in there, the Braita is saying not that it's good enough. In other words, shmira kosa, you don't need shmira mu'ula. Now that can only work if he's a shaymachinim, as we learned before when we learned about this whole concept of the shaymrim and their responsibilities for nizikin. We said shaymachinim, it's enough for him shmira kosa. Everybody else needs shmira mu'ula. If he's saying over here shmira kosa is enough, that means it's shaymachinim. So that proves that he's a shemachinam.
Only in the case of the gina.
And the churba. Okay, but the point is that you see that returning this animal, you've accomplished the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda by returning it to a place with a shemir of kosa. Yeah. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, no. La'olam l'ginot samish tameres, so l'chobot samish tameres. No, because it can actually mean a garden which is well protected, or churba which is well protected. In other words, basically that's protected even against ruach she'ena mitsuya, no matter what, unless like more than a million chance the animal is not going to get out of there. You're asking then, or the kokashal ha'ayin of mitsuya, so you're asking, okay, what's the chiddush in that? Isn't that the equivalent of returning it to his house? The chiddush is, No, the chiddush of the braisa is different. It's not so much that the question of whether the animal is going to get out or not. And then the animal is not going to get out of any of these places. The point is, if you return it to his house, he knows you returned it. If you return it to his dino or his korva, he doesn't know you returned it. And nevertheless, that's valid ashramat avay. That's fine. It belonged to him all along. We're talking about a lost object. He never lost. He was never miyayish on it. He never lost his ownership of it. You're not talking about whether you koine or not. You're talking about, though, that you don't need his das to say that, oh, okay, now I know this thing is returned. I'll know to take care of it.
So the question is, here we're learning that we don't need his das. But we haven't heard that from the previous cases that we don't need Izzat. When you're returning to his house, you also don't need Izzat. What are we saying here? Is there a Kiddush in his house? No, outside his house.
What you're right.
Say here is a Kiddush and not over there.
Okay, because first of all, different braises can be repeating the same thing in different words. The different braises come from different
Tanoim.
So fine, the Kamash Malan is, you should know the basic concept that Loi Ba'in and Das Ba'ilim, and because of that, therefore, from that follows what we learned in the Paraita, top of the Amud, that if you leave it in front of the house, then that's good enough. You don't need Das Ba'ilim. Okay, the truth is actually the Gemara does mention someplace else, I think it's above Matthia, that there is a distinction in that regard between animals and other kinds of things. Because again, animals are once this animal has been out of there before, it's capable of wandering off again. You need a little more das bilum in that case. There was a Rambam Shlosha Prakim recently that Gemara talks about in connection with a stolen animal. I think we'll have it later in Amos Efta. But similar concepts apply. That in the case, we'll learn later on in the Sefta. We'll learn towards the end of the Sefta when we get into all the din of stealing and returning stolen objects. That normally you don't know. We're going to have a machlokus over there whether you need das bilim or not when you're returning the thing. But we say in the case of animals, you definitely not need das bilim because this animal has already been away from the rest of the herd before. Therefore, it's going to wander off on its own unless the owner knows that it's there and knows to take extra care of it. But here, we're not talking about stealing. Here, we're talking about returning an Aveda, but there's a vaguely similar principle involved.
And now, we were assuming in all the previous cases then that you did need that plowing, and that right comes and clarifies and says you don't.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
D'amar Rav Elazar, as in fact Rav Elazar says, called Tzrichim Das Bailim. In all cases you do need Das Bailim, meaning all cases, Rashi says, means for example, Taka, a person steals something or one of the other Shomrim, you always have to inform the person, otherwise you still retain responsibility. Okay, it's not so simple. We're gonna learn later on in the Masechta that there is a bit of a controversy about that. But we'll get to also in Bhagavad, but we'll get to that. But anyway. So everywhere needs that by them. Chutz me'hashavas aveda, except for hashavas aveda, shayrib sabat Torah, hashavas havi. Because there, the Torah mentions hashav to shivim, and that extra expression teaches us that even if you return it without that by them, it's enough. No. Here we're talking about aveda. Here we're talking about a lost object. No, that's the thing. In the case of a ganav or a goblin, he does have to read. That's sort of a lot of the thing. In all other cases, you do need to inform the owner, I'm returning. Right.
And that seems to be the law.
Well, we'll see. It's not so simple. I mean, for example, no, actually, it partly depends whether we're talking about an animal or something else. But for example, we're going to talk about later on in the Sefta, we're going to have a case for it was in Ramach Shlosh Prakim either today or yesterday, that if a person steals money from somebody else and then later on puts it back into the guy's wallet, he doesn't have to inform them because people constantly check their wallet. Very soon afterwards, the owner is going to find, hey, I had extra money in here, and realize that's again.
But here we're talking
animals, not necessarily. So therefore, so that's the point. So the chiddush of the braisa is not so much what kind of place it is. It could even be a very strong gina, a very strong korba. But the chiddush is this fact that you don't need das by them. You returned it in there, as long as it's safe and the animal is not going to get out under normal or even abnormal circumstances, that's it. You've accomplished what you need. Well, that's what we said. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. That's the thing. Rabbi Yosef, who holds like a Shemesh Sachar, would hold that you need that's why Rabbi brought this question on Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef is saying that's how I explain the Braita. You thought to explain that it means Shemitah Chosa. I'm telling you, and that was the Chiddush. No, I'm telling you it's Shemitah Mola, and the Chiddush is that you don't need that time. Next. Okay, so now we're up to challenge number 4 in the Surya. So now comes in Abaye and asks Rabbi Yosef. What are you telling me? You don't hold that a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Chinam? How could it be that you don't hold that? We find out that Rabbi Ba'aba said in the name of Rabbi Yosef. Now, the Gemara could obviously answer that, fine, you know, Rabbi Ba'aba and Rabbi Yosef have their opinion, I have mine, but there's a certain Amiroyim where we take it that what they say is a given and we're not going to argue on them. So he says, Atoyim Tainas Ganav Ba'aveda, if a person makes a claim of theft on a lost object, now, so you have a case, the Torah describes a case like this. You have a case where Reuben comes and says to Shimon, you have money of mine in your possession, for whatever reason. It could be I lent it to you, it could be you found something of mine, it could be I did work for you and you haven't paid me, et cetera, et cetera. One example of that over here is he says, you found a lost object of mine. The guy counterclaims and says, it got stolen. So, depending. Now, again, the usual rule of the Shemachinam would be, a Shemachinam can swear to the truth of his claim and be potter. A Shemachar, also, a Shemachar is only potter on oinus. If it's Gneva Vaveda, he'll have to pay. So now what happens if he claimed that the thing was stolen, later on it turns out that he was lying, they find that the Edom come and say that he actually has it in his own possession, he himself, therefore, is considered the Ganav. And as we will learn in the next parak, a ganav has to take kafel. So a toin taina of ganav aveda. If somebody swears a taina of ganav when it comes to an aveda, so he claims that the aveda was stolen from him. Since it turns out that he himself is the ganav, and actually it's also involved over here, as we'll see on the base. It's also involved over here. He swore falsely. He claimed that it was stolen from him and swore to that effect in order to be potter, and it turns out that he himself is the thief. Mishalom tashlumei kefil, and he pays tashlumei kefil because he himself is the guy. So the that shomer sachar avi, if you're going to tell me he's a shomer sachar, am I mishalom tashlumei kefil? What do you mean tashlumei kefil? Karen aboy shalomi. He has to pay the karen because when he claimed Nigneva, so fine, we tell him, look, you're a Shema Safa. A Shema Safa is higher for Gneva. Pay up.
Pay the principal.
Pay the principal. There wouldn't be a case. You would never get to the point where he swears falsely on it and then ends up paying the case.
Twice the value of the thing.
But that's the point. If he's a Shema Safa, there's nothing to swear on. He says Nigneva, and it's fine, then pay up. Only if he's a Shema Fina is he going to be able to get away with such a thing.
So Shemeh Sacha will pay double or will pay just one time?
In general, a Ganav pays double. In this case, if he's a Shemeh Chinam and claims that it was stolen, and later on it turns out that he's lying, he's also going to pay double. As opposed to if he's a Shemeh Sacha, it never reaches that point. Because a Shemeh Sacha, you claim that it was Nignav, fine, but you're a Shemeh Sacha, you're hired for Gneva, pay up. Karen, not Kate.
And if the aiding comes and Shemeh Sacha and includes that he was the Ganav.
Yeah, fine, he paid the Karen already.
That's it?
Yeah.
Why should Shemeh Sacha, in the case of Gneva, pay less than a Shemeh?
Because we'll talk about that more on other days, but the bottom line is a Shemeh Sacha l'chatchila is higher in Gneva. Forget about the case of an Aveda, a regular case. Reuven is marked something by Shimon as a Shemeh Sacha. The thing gets lost, the thing gets stolen, rather. The thing gets stolen by a Ganav, Shimon's going to have to pay for it. There's no case where he could say it got stolen and I'm puzzled.
Right,
a Shemeh Chinam is capable of saying it got stolen and I'm puzzled. So he's trying to make himself puzzled. If it turns out that he was lying, he's going to pay cable.
But that's my question. Why should a Shemeh Chinam pay cable and a Shemeh Sacha should pay just not cable?
Because by the time you get to that point, by the Shemeh Sacha, the thing has already been short-circuited. As soon as he says Nignav, we tell him, as soon as the Shemeh Sacha says Nignav, we tell him, okay, it doesn't matter at this point who stole it. You're responsible for the theft. Pay up. It never reaches the point where we're going to take the matter to Beis Din and make him swear to the truth of his claim, and then Aiden can come and say.
After that point, two Aiden come and says, no, you know what? He was a gunner. He got it. He's just saying one time, and he's just got it up.
Because from the point of view of being a Shemeh Sacha, he was already chayav on it the single time. That's it.
Without Gneva.
Without.
With Gneva.
Regardless whether he stole it or somebody else stole it. Well, no, he hasn't really acquired ownership unless the other guy was Miyayesh and then Shinui, et cetera. No, it's not so much because he was tiny. Not so much because he was tiny, but because it never reaches that point. Okay. Anyway, so that's the point. If Rabbi Abba is telling us that he pays Tashlume Kefil in the case of Aveda, necessarily he has to be a Shemeh Chinam. It's a Shemeh Sacha. He never reaches the point of paying Kefil. I'm a lay, sort of.
Even with AD?
Yes. I would imagine so, yeah. I'm a lay. Hocha, my skin is going to turn Tainus list in Mizuyan. Yes, but you know what we're talking about over here? He's not claiming that it was stolen in the regular way, as in like somebody broke into my house while I wasn't there and stole it. It means that he's claiming it was taken from me by a listed mizuyan, by an armed robber. Well, in that case, then that's not Geneva Vaveda, that's Oinus. A Shemeh Sacha is Potter on Oinus. Therefore, you come to the same thing. He's going to go to Beis Din. We're going to make him swear that it was an Oinus. Again, if it turns out that he himself took it, he will be paying cable. So he could be a Shemeh Sacha and still be paying kefil in that way. In other words, the only way for a Shemeh Sacha to pay kefil is if he's claiming that he was potter from paying for it at all. If he makes a claim that makes him chayav to pay for it, then there's no way you ever reach the point of kefil. Well, that's the question. Omalei listed Mizuyin Gazlan. So you asked him in that case, a listed Mizuyin is a Gazlan. A Gazlan, there's never any kefil in the first place. So if he's claiming a Gazlan, we're going to learn in the next parak when we deal with all this. The difference we're going to learn later on, and at the end of the ayin, that the difference a Ganav is somebody who does it without not in the presence of other people. He does it in secret. Whereas a Gazlan is somebody who brazenly goes and then openly grabs it from you. But you can also chanes mi adam mitzvah. We'll learn there. And there's no kefil for a Gazlan, yeah. Well, we'll talk about the Gemara. We'll talk about it there, why that is. But that's how it is. Only a Ganav pays kefil. A Gazlan does.
Why?
Wait.
What's the thing?
Sort of. Sort of. We'll talk about it over there. I mean, the basic idea is a Gazlan is not something that's likely to happen very often. Yeah, it's not. But look, we're not talking about in modern society. We're talking about, you know, in a Torah based society. Right. But, also there's a difference. You know, a Gazlan shows that he's not afraid of people or the Eivishter. At least he has a shtickle derechedet for the Eivishter in that sense. Wait, where the Ganav shows he has less derechedet for the Eivishter and he's afraid of people. Exactly. Therefore, he pays more. Therefore, he pays more because he has less debt. Whatever. Wait. It'll be dealt with. It'll be dealt with in due time. Anyway, a list in Missouri is a gazlan. So then there's no kafel to talk about. On the way, Sir Rabbi Yosef said, no, Shani Omer, list in Missouri, no, because I'm telling you, a list in Missouri, kivud mitamim inchi, since after all he is trying to hide out from people, ganim. Then he is a ganim. The mitamim means he hides himself. Meaning, we're not talking about somebody who walks down the street and then goes over to somebody and sticks them up and in full view of everybody. We're talking about somebody, for example, the Magid Mishnah talks about this on the Rambam. That it means, for example, somebody who attacks or breaks into a house, but he's armed so that in case so he is listed in Missouri and he is carrying a gun or what have you, some kind of weapon. But on the other hand, he's trying to come in secret. He's not intending to confront you. But he has with him a weapon. In case he ends up confronting you, then yes. But therefore, he's still considered a ganav, and he'd still be paying case. And therefore, if you claim, and therefore, in other words, what Rabbi Yosef is saying is therefore, as far from the point of view of the genim of the shomer, it's considered an onus. The fact is, he had a gun. Therefore, you, the shomer sacher, can go swear in based in that that was the case, and you'll be potter. However, from the point of view of the genim of kafel, the guy is considered a ganav. Therefore, if he ever gets caught, he will pay people. Therefore, if it turns out there was no list in Missouri, but rather it was you, the Shema Sacher, then you're paying people.
Rabbi wouldn't agree with that?
No, Rabbi agrees with that, but the point is Rabbi doesn't need to go into all of that. Rabbi would just say, very simple, Torin Tainas Ganav just means you claim somebody broke into your house while you were away and stole it. Fine, you're Shema Chinam, you can swear that was the case, and you'll be falter, and an ordinary Ganav is high capable, and therefore it turns out that none of that happened. You took it yourself, you're also going to be capable. So Yosef has to go into the whole list in Missouri business. Which Tosfos points out, I mean, there are other cases Rabbi Yosef could have mentioned also. He could have mentioned, for example, the case, let's say it was money, and you buried it in the ground like you're supposed to, and somebody unexpectedly tunneled in under your house and then took it. Okay, but the list in Missourian is more straightforward. Okay. So therefore, anyway, so you have no proof from that he's not a Shema Sacher. He could be a Shema Sacher, but in a case of list in Missourian like that, you'll still have that. On the one hand, it's an onus. On the other hand, there's case. Abaya asks on Rabbi Yosef further. Abraisa says, Rashi says that he doesn't know where this Abraisa is. Tosfos says that it's in connection with a discussion about the what kind of things the Shema Chinam versus the Shema Sacher is chayav on. The Torah tells us, in Parshas Mishpatim, it starts out, and it discusses the dinim over there. And the Gemara explains in Bava Metzia that section is talking about a Shema Chinam. Then a few psukim later, you have another case, and things happen, and the Gemara establishes that that's talking about a Shema Sacher. So one thing is, in both sections, it talks about the same concept that we make the guy swear in based in to the truth of his claim. In the case of a Shema Chinam, again, it would be if he claims almost anything, then he goes and swears and he's falter. In the case of a Shema Sacher, if there was an onus. So the question is, according to Tosfos explains that the first part of the Braisa is talking, we don't have the first part of the Braisa in front of us, that's why Rashi says he doesn't know where it comes from, but evidently the first part of the Braisa is discussing the question, why are we saying that, why does the Torah have to repeat that concept? That he has to swing. You would think once you say it by the Shema Chinam, then you know it applies by the Shema Sacher as well, or vice versa. The answer is no, because Imam Marcha Shema Chinam she came to Shalom Tashlom Kefal. Because you could argue maybe the Torah is true, a Shema Chinam in general is more lenient than a Shema Sacher. On the other hand, he does have a certain stringency because he can end up paying Tashlom Kefal. So how can you say by Shema Sacher where he doesn't pay Tashlom Kefal? So, in other words, therefore, the Torah could not have told us this concept that you can swear and be potter, let's say, by Hashem, by Hashem Sachar, and we would understand how much more so by Hashem Achinam, because on the other hand, Hashem Achinam has a certain stringency over Hashem Sachar. There can be a case where you end up paying kafel. Again, if he swore falsely, and it turns out that he himself is a ganav, he's paying kafel. Whereas in the case of Hashem Sachar, that doesn't happen. Because he never pays kafel, he pays karet. That's why the Torah had to repeat it, right?
You would have thought that the Shemesh Sachar doesn't have to swear?
No, you would say if the Torah only told us by Shemesh Sachar, you wouldn't know from it Shemesh Chinam. You would think maybe only a Shemesh Sachar can get away with swearing, because he does have that particular leniency. But a Shemesh Chinam, maybe not. Yeah. Now, but he's talking about that list of Mizuyan Ganavu. If you're going to tell me that you found a case of list of Mizuyan, and you're telling me this list of Mizuyan is sort of a hybrid situation, on the one hand, it's an onus, but on the other hand, he pays the Shulman Kefo because he's considered a Ganav. Then you do have a case where a Shem HaSachar is going to end up paying case, namely with this claim of listed Mizuyan. If you say that a listed Mizuyan is considered a Gazlan, as we assumed originally, fine, a Gazlan never pays any more than Karen. You, the Shem HaSachar, is also only going to pay Karen.
But here
if you're telling me that a listed Mizuyan is a Ganav, he's going to pay Kefil, you, the Shem HaSachar, are also going to be paying Kefil. So then what the Braith is saying falls apart, because then you do have a case where Shem HaSachar can be paying cable. Amalei, Hachi Kamar, yes, but what the Braith means is like this. Look, Imamaut of a Shem HaChinam, Shekein Mishan Lashlam HaKeitah, but whole time. No, what the Braith means is a Shem HaChinam is always going to pay Tashlam HaKeitah if he really was the thief, regardless what he claimed, whether he claimed Gneva, whether he claimed Aveda, whether he claimed Oin, etc. If it turns out that he was a Ganev, he is always going to be paying Kefil. Toma b'shem HaSachar, she'ed ha'masham, b'shlom ha'kefil, el b'toyin tainas listen Mizuyan. As opposed to b'shem HaSachar, yes, there is one case where he'd end up paying b'shlom ha'kefil, namely listen Mizuyan, but that's the only case. Any other case, if he claims Gneva v'aveda, you never get to the point of Kefil because he just ends up paying the Keren and nothing further happens after that. So it's not a matter of that a Shem HaChinam pays kefil and a Shem HaSachar never does. It's a matter of the Shem HaChinam is always has the potential of paying kefil regardless of what he claimed happened, whereas the Shem HaSachar only has in one particular case a possibility of paying kefil.
And therefore
Shem HaChinam has a certain stringency over Shem HaSachar. And therefore, that's what the Braith was saying. Therefore, the Torah needs to repeat this concept about swearing in both cases. But if he claims Shluchat Yad, if he claims Shluchat Yad, then of course he's chayav. Shluchat Yad is effectively. You're right. The Braith was not talking about Shavuot. You're right. I'm sorry. The Braith was talking about the fact that the Torah has to repeat the concept of Shluchat Yad by both of them. Thank you. The Torah repeats the concept of Shluchat Imlo Shalach Yodim Imlechas Re'er. Yeah, man. The Torah, both by Shem HaChinam and by Shem HaSachar, the Torah repeats the concept, if he did not do Shlichus Yad, if he did not misuse the thing, then he can swear in the individual cases and be possible. So that was what the Torah, sorry, it wasn't about Shavuot. It was, why can't it say that by Shem HaSachar, and we deduce from it the same thing by Shem HaChinam? And the reason is that Shem HaChinam has a stringency.
So even though there's Shlichus Yad, by both,
the Torah had to spell out Shlichus Yad by both. We couldn't have learned one from the other because, on the one hand, a Shem HaSachar has a Chumrah over a Shem HaChinam because he's Chayav in Gneva Aveda. On the other hand, a Shem HaChinam has a Chumrah over a Shem HaSachar there's more cases where he can be Chayav in Tashlumei Kefil. There's more possible claims that he could have made where he ends up where if it ends up that there are Edim that he was really the Ganav, then he's paying Kefil. Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, it's not really, the fact of the matter is, it's not really a very strong Chumrah, especially considering that, first of all, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, that there's a greater Chumrah in the fact that in definitely having to pay the Keren more than a possible having to pay cable, first of all, and second of all, So there is that. Besides the fact, also he only, you know, this possibility that the Shem HaChinam pays kefil is also depending on what he himself does. He himself has to deny the thing, and he himself has to swear falsely. Okay, Tosfos says it's not a very strong chumrah, but nevertheless, when you're coming to shlug up a kabbal chumrah, you can use any kind of pirsa. You can use even a weak counter argument like that to shlug up a kabbal chumrah, and therefore, in order to avoid that, that's why the pasuk had to spell it out. Had to spell out shlichus yad in both cases. Anyway, the point is, so the point is that, again, from this braisa, you can't prove anything one way or the other. Yes, you could have a shema sachar has a case where he pays the shlomi kekel, but only one case as opposed to a shema chinam. There's many more cases. Eitzei, a braisa says that when the pasuk says by a shoyl, now you have the third kind of shema, the shoyl, a borrower, and a borrower is responsible for almost everything except meis machas malacha. So a braisa says, when the pasuk says v'nishbar de meis, the pasuk says that if the animal is broken or dies, then he's chayev. Ein li yalav shvuro meis. So you would only know from that he's chayev if the animal gets broken or dies. Gnev v'aveda minai. And how do we know that he's also chayev if the animal gets lost or stolen? Which the Gemara points out in Rav Matiya. We need to ask that, because after all, if it's broken or it dies, that's it. It's irrevocable. If it gets lost or stolen, he might be able to find it afterwards. So maybe you should argue a shoyl should be pasur in those cases. Because the animal exists someplace, it's fine, but at least there's a capability of finding it, getting it back from the cannibal or whatever, unlike Shvuro Mesa, where, yeah. So, Amarta Kabachimer. No, the Braith says, because you can make a Kabachimer. Uma Hashem Esachar, the potter of Shvuro Mesa, Chayab Gnev Baveda. Mada Hashem Esachar, who is potter from Shvuro Mesa, because those are considered an onus, and yet he's Chayab Gnev Baveda. Shoyo Shachayab Shvuro Mesa. So, Shoyo is Chayab in Shvuro Mesa, he's Chayab even in onus. Ain't it did Shaib and Gnei Vaveda? How much more so? These Shaib and Gnei Vaveda. And the Braitha adds an interesting line. The Zeru Kavachomer, Sha'ain Olof Sugar. This is an unassailable Kavachomer. The reason why the Braitha mentions that is going to be, the Gemara doesn't spell it out in detail, which Chaim explains in more detail. The point is that we see from the continuation of the discussion in the Gemara that there's a certain pircha that you could think to slog up that Kavachomer. And the Braitha is informing you ahead of time. That pircha doesn't work. Pircha is somewhere to slog up a kamachayim. A way of slogging up an objection to a kamachayim. You think you may have an objection to that, but I'll point out to you that it's not. As we'll see in the Gemara. So Abaye says, Isak that list of Mizuyan Ganavu. Now, if you're going to tell me, like you're holding Rabbi Yosef, that a list in Mizuyan is considered a Ganav, am I anal of trouble? What do you mean this kamachayim is unassailable? I can slug it up. I do have an objection to it. Again, a shoyo were saying is higher for everything, therefore, again, there's never going to be a case where he reaches the point of kefil, because no matter a shoyo, because no matter what claim he makes, whether he says nignava, avda, whether he says oines, he's always going to be paying keren right away. There's never a point where he's going to be coming to swearing based into the truth of his claim and then paying kefil. Whereas a shema sachar, he can claim listim mezuyan, and he does end up paying kefil. So again, that would be a pircha to this kavah claimer. You're arguing that a shoyal is more stringent than a shema sachar, but I can find you a way in which, according to what you're saying, that a shema sachar is more stringent.
It's true, except in listim mezuyan.
That's the point. Once you have an exception, you have an exception. So again, going back, if we were to say that a list of Missourian is a Goslin, then you don't have a problem. Because whether it is the case of a Goslin, there's no capel. The problem with that is, though, that if you say it that way, then you're back to the original thing that we said, that Abchia Ba'aba said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if you turn in Tainas Ghana, you play Tashlum and capel, if you say the guy is a Shema Sachar, that doesn't work.
Because
it's a Shema Sachar. And a Shema Sachar is Kaya for Gnev Ba'aveda, yeah. Yeah. Well, therefore, it can never reach kefil. Yeah, that's the point.
Right here.
Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answered.
That's where
Abaye is asking one of this. Based on this last braisa, so we see that a list in Mizuyan evidently is not a Ghana. It evidently is considered a Gazlan. And that, therefore, that would be why the braisa is making a Kavah Chomer and not finding a way to slog it up. But in that case, that doesn't work with what Rabbi Yosef Abba said. On the way, so he says, Kasava Haitana, Karna Vloshu. Rabbi Yosef answers, yeah. Kasava Haitana, Karna Vloshu, Adifa Mikfela Bishvua. Yes, but the Tana of this Braith that holds that having to pay Keren without a Shavua being involved is more stringent than having to pay Kefil based on a Shavua. Meaning, in other words, that it's true, it can happen in the end that a Shoyo will pay Keren where a Shema Sacher would pay Kefil. Namely, listen to Zuyan. But the fact of the matter is, how do you ever reach the possibility of kefil? It has to be that he swore falsely that it was stolen, and then aid him come that he actually stole it. So the fact that a shoyl has to pay keren without going through all of that is more stringent than the possibility that if all of that happens, the shem esacher is going to be paying keren.
Sure,
because one, first of all, one is a more definite thing, and one is right. and one is less definite. Second of all, it's more money in the end. But again, the kefil in this case is more of a. So Rashi says actually the kefil is more of a knas because of the swearing falsely. In other words, Rashi says, Tosfos discusses it a little bit and then disagrees with that a little bit. But Rashi says that the point is the fact that he's paying kefil is not really directly related to his false claim. It's more related to the fact that he swore falsely. Therefore, that's a whole different thing. So, in other words, the fact that when you make a certain claim, you're going to have to pay keren. Versus when you make whereas in another case, when a person makes a claim and backs it up with a false shavua, that he's going to have to pay kefil. Yes, but having to pay keren for the claim without the shavua is a more stringent thing. It means all you have to do is make that claim, and that it was, for example, in the case of a shoyl that it was lost or stolen or broken or what have you, and already you chayav keren. Whereas in the case of a kefil, you're only going to be chayav if you not only made that claim of listing mezuyan, but also swore falsely on it. So therefore, and that's the point. In other words, so Rabbi Yosef is saying, Rabbi Yosef would say that's the Torah Chaim explains. That's what when the Braita said the Zel Kavachomer She'ain Elav Tshuva. This is an unassailable Kavachomer. That's why, because once you might think to argue that kefil is more stringent than keren, but I'm going to answer you like Rabbi Yosef is answering that no, the keren without a shavua is more serious than kefil with a shavua, and therefore there's no way of slogging up this Kavachomer.
Just because it's directed,
it's automatic. Yeah, basically. Okay. Letting them aside. Okay, so now, fine. Now we reach this point. We dealt with all of the with all of the objections against Rabba and against Rabbi Yosef. Now let's go the other way. Let's see if we can find. This is now the seventh part of the discussion. Let's see if we can use the following braisa as a proof for what Rabbi Yosef is saying. The braisa says, "Hasecha parta machaber." If somebody rents a cow, so now we're up to the fourth kind of shomer, a renter. If somebody rents a cow from somebody else, benignava, and it gets stolen. Now, what the dinim of a secha are? So we talked about it briefly in the Masechta before, and Rav Mathia discusses it in greater detail. There's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda whether all the Torah says by socher, the phrase the Torah uses by socher is im socher, who if he's a renter, bob is chore, he comes with his rent. So what does that mean? Does it mean that basically he's like shem achinam, or does it mean except that he's allowed to use the animal, or does it mean he's basically like shem socher, except that he's allowed to use the animal? Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rameh. Bob is chore means he comes with his hire. But does that mean, in other words, basically he's a shem achinam, but because he's paying to use the animal, therefore on the one hand he's getting to use the animal, which is a benefit. On the other hand, he's paying for it, so it's not so much of a benefit. Therefore, maybe that downgrades him to a shem achinam, or maybe not. Maybe it makes him a shem asacher. But that's all, he has the use of the animal. The Braita says, "Atzeicha parta machaber." If somebody rents a cow from somebody else, for nignuva, and it gets stolen, va'omer halacha reading mishalem bein nishva. The socher now says, "You know what? Even though I could have gotten away with swearing, I could have gone to Beis Din and swore that it was stolen, but instead, I'm not going to do that. I'll pay." Va'achakach nimtza ganav. Later on, the ganav is found. Mishalem tashlumei kefil atzeicha. Then when he pays tashlumei kefil to this renter, he doesn't pay it to the original owner. This is in the first Mishnah and the Gemara on it in Hamaskid discussed this at some length in Rav Mathia. What? In a certain sense, the acquired ownership. The Gemara discussed over there how exactly he acquired that ownership, but whatever it is, that's so
he borrowed.
He didn't borrow. He rented it.
Yeah, he rented it.
It got stolen.
And it was stolen.
He could have, assuming that he is a shomer. No, we don't know yet whether he's a shem achinam or a shem asacher. That's the next point that we're going to take up. Whatever the case, somehow he could have gone to Beis Din. So there's two ways of looking at it. We could say that he's a shem achinam, and in that case he's potter for Gneva. He could swear on Gneva and be potter. Or he could be a shem asacher, and we're talking Muslim Mizuyan. Either way, like Rabbi Yosef was saying. Either way, the point is he would have been able to swear, and if he had, he'd be potter. And then if the ganav ever showed up, if they ever caught the ganav, he'd be paying the tashlumei kefil to the original owner. Like this, it doesn't matter whether it was a shem achinam or shem asacher for this purpose. Either way, this concept applies to any of the shemim. if the shomer would have been able to get away with paying with a shavua, and instead he said, instead of swearing a shavua, I'm willing to pay for the animal, then if the ganav is, if the ganav gets caught, the ganav will pay the shlomo kefil to him, not to the original owner. So, Savrua, now the Chachamim who brought up this point, and who wanted to use this as a proof for Rabbi Yosef, thought, Kirub Yehuda. They thought this Braitha must be like Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda says that a socha had the dinim like a shlomo socha. Why they assume that? Tosfos says because the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and they wanted to assume that the Braitha is going a little bit hilchta. The Shidduch Kometz brings another reason that Sam Braitha Rabbi Yehuda, just like Sam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, Sam Tesefta is Rabbi Yehuda. So, if we say it's like Rabbi Yehuda, that, and who says that a socher has the dinim of a shomer socher, now he's saying, I'm willing to pay, I don't want to swear, McLeod the Iboi possibly not Shavuah, implying that he could have gotten away with a Shavuah. So you have to ask Kesi Domi. Going to Toin Tainus Listen Mizuyan. Evidently, it must be Listen Mizuyan, because in any other case, again, if he's a Shema Sacher, then Gneva he's not possible for. He'd be higher for Gneva. There's no way that he could say, I'm paying instead of swearing. He would have had to pay regardless. Must be you're talking Listen Mizuyan. Look at Tony Bachbach Nimsa Ganav, and we say that later on the Ganav is found. Mashalim the Shlomo Kefil Osecha, we say he pays the Shlomo Kefil, Shmam to the renter, Shmam and Listen Mizuyan Ganav. Therefore, that proves that a listed Mizuyan is a Ganav, which is what Rabbi Yosef was trying to prove all this time.
Why are we saying that the Mizuyan?
Well, it has to be, because if he was a regular Ganav, if it was a regular garden variety Ganav, then a socher who has the dinim of a Shema Socher would be chayav for the Gneva anyhow. As soon as he comes to Basin and says Nignava, then Basin would tell him, pay up, Teren. There's no possibility of you're going to pay instead of swearing. You're going to swear or you're going to pay. You have your choice. You have to pay regardless. He was saying that he has the option to swear. That can only be with listed Mizuyah. Yet we're saying that that person ends up paying kefil, implying that he has the dinim of ganav, which is what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Shemam and listed Mizuyah and ganav. Amri, so they answered, not necessarily, because mi sabrat Rabbi Yehuda dom a socher kenosis socher domi. Who says that this braisa necessarily is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a socher has the dinim of a shem a socher, dom a kremeir spirulei. Maybe actually the braisa holds like a mayor. Fine, it wouldn't be a little bit of hill, but fine, a stam braiser is a good one. So, could be. The Omer of Socher Shem Echinam Dami. Your mayor says that a Socher has the dinim of a Shem Echinam. So, therefore, yes, very easy to understand. And you don't need to listen to Mizuyan. A regular plain old Ganav also, he'd be potter if he wants to swear, he could have sworn that it was stolen by a Ganav.
Right, but the fact I'm feeding in favor of
this image. No, because, again, if he's a Shema Socher, the only way to do it is listen to Mizuyan. But if he's just as a Socher, remember, the sugya we were talking about before was about a Shomer Aveda. But now we kind of digress to the question of what's the din of a listen to Mizuyan. So we're not talking about a Shomer Aveda anymore. We're talking now about a regular Socher, a regular renter. Is he like a Shema Chinam or is he like a Shema Socher? If he's like a Shema Socher, the only way that you can have, on the one hand, he could have sworn and be potter, but on the other hand, there's kefil involved, is listen to Mizuyan. But if he says he's like a Shema Chinam, then very simply, any ganav that would be true of. And if the braisa goes like a mayor, then he's like a shem achinam. It's not necessarily a proof for Rabbi Yosef. Iboi seima, or you could answer, if you doubt the want to say the braisa goes like Rabbi Yehuda, fine, could the machlis, Rabbi Baravur, but Tani, we could say that it's like Rabbi Baravur switched around the opinion and said that it's actually the other way around. So it's okay to the shalom, a mayor, a shem achinam, or Rabbi Yehuda, a shem achinam. Fine, you have a variant opinion that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says like a Shem Achinam. Fine, the Braitha could be saying then that he's a Shem Achinam and still go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Still no proof for Rabbi Yehuda. Still no proof for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zera Omer, Rabbi Zera gives another answer. Hachav Mayaskin, but Toyin Tainas Listim Mizuyan, and it's a Listim Shainim Mizuyan. Yes, but you can have another situation over here. He could be like a Shem Asachar, but you could have where he claimed this Socher claimed that it was stolen by Listim Mizuyan, therefore, in other words, that it was onus. And it turns out it was Muslim Shane in Missouri, and it turns out it was not an armed robber. The guy had a fake gun or whatever, for example, or he was lying, and it wasn't a Muslim Missourian, but it was a regular gun. So again, therefore, he claimed it was an onus, therefore he was going to get away with the shvuah. Turns out there was a real honest, a real regular gun over here, therefore there was a Shlomo Kefil. Because he was willing to pay and not swear, therefore the Shlomo Kefil goes to him. But you still can't prove that if the guy really was a listed Mizuyan, that he should have to be paying the Shlomo Kefil. Maybe, but you can't prove it from this bright. Okay, so the Gemara has, in the end, So we don't really have a conclusion, right? So the as far as the question of whether a list of mezuyin is considered if I remember correctly, the halacha is that he is considered like a gazel, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong on that, though. As far as the dinim of shomer aveda, which was the original topic of the sugya, the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yosef. A number of other Rishonim, such as the Tur and the Rosh, paskin like Rabba. And in fact, the usual rule in Shas is usually the halacha is like Rabba against Rabbi Yosef. The Rambam holds like Rabbi Yosef, basically because most of the sugya has been following his shita, and the Rambam very commonly does that. So therefore, it winds up since we don't have from after the time of the Gemara, we don't have any supreme authority. We don't have a Sanhedrin or the Chachmei Gemara or whatever to determine who the halacha is like. So therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, you have both opinions, and therefore it's a suffix like any other suffix. But basically, if the aveda were to be lost or stolen, the owner of the aveda cannot claim in Beis Din and be able to collect from the person who is guarding it. Because the guy can argue that the halacha is like Rabba, he's a shemachinam. However, if he was toifet, if the Baal Aveda was toifet, if he grabbed a hold of mechatim that belonged to the shomer, then he'll be able to keep them. Because again, then it would be the other way around. You'd have to, in order to get him back, you'd have to prove the halacha is that the halacha is like Rabba and he can't do that.